All right, guys, so welcome to our conference today and this session on Be the Dad She Needs You to Be. Great to see the room so full and to know you guys all care about your girls that much that you want to come and spend this day here and this little bit of time together. So let's open in prayer before we start. Father, we are so thankful that we can be here this morning, and like we were challenged during that first session, just to be relentless, to be relentless in our faith, in our walk with you. But in this study, in this time, we're going to look at dads raising daughters, and we just ask that you will work in our heart and that we can be relentless in their lives. So pray now that you will clear our hearts, clear our minds, let us focus for a little while, have some good conversation, and talk about these things before us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and the men of God said, amen. Amen. All right. So like I said, it's based on this book, Be the Dad She Needs You to Be. You've got a handout in front of you, and there's room for notes there if you want to take some, but like I said, if you want a lot more detail on it, buy the book and go. He tells a lot of great stories in there and things that will really help you too. So it's a fun read. Even better would be to get some guys to read it together with and talk about the chapters when you're done. And like I said, there's a lot of good stuff in there. But we're not going to have time to go through all that today. We're going to kind of give an overview of each chapter, the big idea or the main point of each chapter, and then take some notes and stuff like that. I'd like to have some time at the end, for questions and answers, some discussion. I know in a group like this, there's probably always some special situations, things you might want some help on. If you're not feeling like you want to bring it up in front of a group of guys like this, you know, that's good. We could talk about stuff separately too, but like I said, in the book he doesn't mention a lot of Bible verses, but one of my favorites and that came to mind a lot for me as I was raising my kids was probably because I heard it from my mom a lot, usually my mom, and it was usually during those times of discipline. So it was Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way they should walk, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And then it usually resulted in a spanking or something like that. That was part of that training up that I was getting at the time. But I love to read, when I study a verse in the Bible, the different versions and what they, how they word it and things like that. So that was like from the NIV version, how I have it memorized. Amplified version, if you're familiar with that version, says, train up a child in the way he should go, in parentheses, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. So even when he was old, he will not depart from it. And then if you guys are familiar with the Message, the book, the Bible, the Message, a lot of times that's real clear. And in this point, I thought, boy, this is going to probably be two paragraphs of description for that. And it was a sentence and a half. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't get lost. Oh boy, it doesn't get much simpler than that, right? So when you hear those Bible verses, what do you kind of think of? What's the foundation there for that?
They're going to do what you teach them, right?
They're going to do what you teach them, right? Yeah, the foundation, laying the foundation for them. Intentionality is the word I like to use. When I became a father, I didn't have this grand plan of what I was going to do and how I was going to raise my children. And like all of us, probably that saying, I wish I knew then what I know now, you know, it would help me. But I think if there's one thing I could do differently, it was to be more intentional. I think for me, fortunately, I liked being a dad and I liked being with my kids, and that made a big difference. So I want to just say that I don't stand up before you as an expert of any kind, but I do stand up for you as being experienced. So that's me, this guy here, younger, and this guy's or this girl's husband is in here. Her husband's in here. Her husband's in here. No, he's not here. Three out of my four son-in-laws are here. I'm going to talk about them later. Okay. So this is, I think, about 20, 22 years ago. That's just, I just love that picture. Somebody told me once that's what being a dad is like. And so that's my life 20-some years ago. And I'll show you what it's like later. So in chapter one in the book, like I said, I always had this idea that I was going to have this perfect family, one boy and one girl, and that was good. Well, I found out God has a different plan for me. God's plan is often a lot better than my plan. I think I tell myself I probably would have been too hard on a boy. I would have probably made him had the expectations for him of things that I didn't do, or where I fell short. So I was blessed with four girls instead. And the neat part is I got four son-in-laws. I'll say this in front of them. I not only love them, but I like them. So that's important for me, and hopefully you have that same situation. So one thing that I learned early on is, especially with girls, is that you don't talk to them the same way you talk to a guy, And I found that out more so when I had the opportunity to coach sports in high school, a couple different sports. So I coached high school football, and I coached high school gymnastics. All right. So you talk about two diverse groups to deal with, right? And there's diversity within those groups too yet. But years ago I was coaching youth football, and I was kind of hard on it. Boys yelling at them, and my wife says, you're pretty hard on them. You're yelling a lot. I said, well, boys don't know that you care unless you yell at them. Now I wasn't saying anything bad to them, it was encouragement to them, but you certainly wouldn't talk to girls that same way. And I found that out in the home life too. Even within the ranks, within girls, within boys, there are also differences. Each child needs to be treated differently. Each child needs to be known differently. An example of that, on the football team, there was one young man. He was probably one of the strongest, meanest defensive ends that I ever coached. And so it was easy to get him motivated. And we'd been working hard on some stuff during the week, game planning. And when it came to game time, he was blowing it, okay? Well, he knew he was blowing it. And he came on the sideline, and I was just chewing him out. I thought, this guy just needs, to... And he says, coach. I said, what? He goes, you can't yell at me like that. When you yell at me like that, all I hear is blah, 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 blah. So his mind, he's fired up. He's in overload. His mind just shut down. All right. So I calmed down, calmed him down, went back to the basics, talked about what, he needed to do, and he was successful the rest of the game. Well, in high school gymnastics, it's the same way. There are some girls that needed to be coddle. There's some that need to be encouraged a little more forcefully. So your children are the same way. So whether you have boys or girls, you need to get to know each one of them separately. You need to get to know their dislikes, their likes, and how they react to things. We talk about that in our field of ministry to men, is knowing your players. All right. So the same way we need to know our players within the church who we're dealing with, as far as when we develop a ministry for men, we need to know our players. In this situation, it's your family, it's your kids, right? You need to know each one, their likes and their dislikes. So the first chapter, chapter one, was probably one of the most important, or one of my favorite chapters in the book. And the title is The Relationship That Matters the Most. And why you matter, especially to your daughter, and what's missing when you're AWOL. I don't know if you'd ever heard of a term called father hunger. Have you ever heard that before? That was something I'd never heard of until I started reading this book. But for some girls, and I suppose this relates to boys too, if they don't have a good father, they develop what's called father hunger. And they actually then in their imagination create this father that they want, that they desire. Maybe you've seen statistics for children raised in absent father homes and different things like that. The statistics are just off the wall with the different things. I worked in corrections for a number of years, and I, towards the end of my career, I met with a lot of inmates, one-on-one situation. And one of the most common denominators in those guys was the absence of a father figure. And that's not 100% in every case by any means. But just that positive role model, you know, if you're familiar with it, I mean, why do gang members join gangs, right? You know, to get that role model, that person in their life, you know, people who care in their life. So it's also, you know, part of the reason discipleship is so important for me, you know, helping men become the men of God we wanted to see them be, the husbands we want them to be, the fathers, you know, and on in the workplace and stuff like that. So what would you say the benefits are of an engaged dad? Why would you think this relationship would be so important? Mm-hmm. Yep. Daughters need to see that from their dads. Yep. I'm going to read. I couldn't say this any better than how this chapter. So I'm going to read this directly from the book. So bear with me. At first blush, everyone thinks the most important relationships in the family are the father-son and mother-daughter relationships, but they're wrong. The cross-gender relationships are most critical. Why does a dad matter so much to a daughter in particular? A dad is the one who teaches a daughter what a male is all about. It's the first man in her life, the first man she loves, the first male she tries to please, the first man who says no to her, the first man to discipline her. In effect, he sets her up for success or failure with the opposite sex. Not only that, but she takes cues from how dad treats mom as she grows up about what to expect as a woman who is in a relationship with a man. So dad sets up his daughter's marriage relationship too. And if that dad is a man of faith, he all of a sudden takes on the awesome responsibility of representing Almighty God himself. Wow, if that made you a little nervous, then you're a smart man. If dad is a loving, steady, balanced man in his approach with his daughters, she will have a sense of security, love, and trust in her relationships with men. She will also stand up for herself if males attempt to take advantage of her, because she knows that her daddy would never treat her that way or allow her to be treated that way. However, if a daughter doesn't have security, love, and trust in a relationship with her dad, that daughter will pay for the lack of those critical things in her life. She will be driven toward men who aren't good for her, who treat her badly, and she'll allow it because it's consistent with the way she views herself in relationship with men. So, yeah, like I said, that cross-gender relationship, you know, you're the first man in her life, the first one she's going to love and turn to and things like that. So, you know, I know you guys love your daughter, so you wouldn't be here today. And one day she's going to take all that you've given her or haven't given her, and she's going to step out in the world. Graduation from high school, graduation or entering college, graduating from college, those boyfriends that come along, engagements, weddings, things like that. You're setting her up for all those things. You know, you're setting up for how to deal with adversity in her life and things like that. So how is she going to do that? So what are you going to give her to help her prepare for that? And then chapter number two, dads do it different. I mean, better. No, they do it different, right? So that's pretty typical. I think we could probably all think of an example with that. I get that around the house a lot. Well, that's not how I would do it. Well, okay, but I'm still getting it done, right? So if I do the dishes this way in the dishwasher, it still works at the end of the day, right? So and the same way with kids, okay? I was not an expert at changing diapers, number one, because I didn't enjoy it, but it was something that had to be done, but it got done, and they're still alive, so I guess I must have been successful. They didn't catch any strange diseases and stuff like that. And men use fewer words. Agree with that? Yeah. Man. Now, you guys aren't going to go home and tell my wife any of this stuff, right? And my wife can tell it. Stop it. My wife can tell a story that takes 5 minutes that I can tell in one, right? You know, get to the point. Tell me so that's different. Men are problem solvers, right? Your daughter comes to you, daddy, I can fix it. We're fixers, right? A lot of times, girls, though, they just want to ask. They just want to, you're thinking about your wives or whatever again, too, right? You know, they just want to be heard, right? They don't necessarily need you to be fixing it or necessarily want an answer to what they've been saying. Men are usually calculated risk takers. So I think the important part there is calculated risk takers. In one place, this is evident if you've ever taken your kids or seen kids at swimming lessons. Ever seen that? You know, guys do it different. Ready, kid? Whoosh, poof, you know, underwater, you know. Moms don't do it that way, all right? Okay, we know we're going to bring them back up. They're going to be fine. We're their defenders. We're their protectors. If you're not already there, wait until your daughter gets to the age where boys start to notice her and then see what happens, right? So, yep. Just never ceases to amaze me. You know, you haven't been hunting, but all of a sudden your gun needs to be cleaned some night, right? So, you know, yeah. Okay. Chapter number 3, then, it was about knowing your duckling. Why it's important for Papa Duck to know each young in the flock individually. We talked on this a little bit more in the beginning when I was sharing stories about the other people. And if you have one more child, more than one child, you already know this, right? They're different physically, they're different mentally, they're different emotionally, usually, right? So it's important that you know those differences. Foods they like, right? One child will eat this, the other one won't touch it. You know, so, you know, all the different things that happen during mealtime and stuff like that. They're different likes and dislikes. Maybe your daughter's more comfortable with telling you those things, her likes and dislikes, than a boy might be, right? What are their quirks? What are the things that make them laugh? Right, those are all things that you got to get to know about your child. What's their personality? Another thing that impacts this is their birth order. Anybody experience that or see that in their children? That old child, oldest child, the middle child, the baby in the family. All right, very evident in my family with my daughters, and I see that now in my grandkids too. So how do we get to know our daughters? Well, number one thing is what? Just spending time with them, right? You just got to be with them. We need to spend time with them. We need to be quiet and listen to them and see what's on their heart. One of my favorite times with my daughters growing up was prayer time before they went to bed, because they weren't talking to me. They were talking to God, and they tell him anything, all right? You can find out so much what's going on in your kid's life by praying with them. It's amazing. So that's a great time to hear what's going on. You're probably going to hear, yes, sir.
Something I heard 2 years ago when you did a parenting one.
Okay.
Date your kids.
Date your daughter.
Date your daughter.
Yep.
Figure out and do things.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very important thing to do. Take your daughter out for ice cream. Take her out, you know, to eat at McDonald's. Take her out someplace nice where you get dressed up and spend the evening together. You know, that's a great thing to do. You're probably going to hear some things you don't necessarily want to hear. You're probably going to hear some things. You come home and you go, oh, she said this. What do I do? You know, stuff like that. But I guess the important thing there is, you know, you don't necessarily need to give an answer right away. You know, you might be able to find out. I don't know if you've ever seen that commercial, but the guy, and hopefully you don't have to experience this, but the guy was showing his daughter how to shave her legs. So she was at a point in her life where she needed to shave her legs, and apparently there wasn't a female to show her. So he's, you know, sitting there, and I thought, well, you know, how sad, but how cool, you know? I mean, there are certain things that a guy is not going to show his daughter how to do, and we're not going to get into detail about that. But how much does this guy have to love his daughter to do that for her, you know? Do you think she'll ever forget that, you know? So, I mean, that's just a TV commercial, but what it boils down to is, guys, is sometimes we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone and do something that we might not necessarily like, but in the end is really what she's in need of. Chapter number 4, then, was walking the balance beam. How ironic is that for a family of gymnasts? The reason I coached gymnastics in high school is because my wife is the head coach of our team in Waupun, and she came home one day and said, here's an application. You're going to fill this out because you're going to help me coach. All our daughters were involved in gymnastics, and now my oldest daughter runs the program, and the kids are all involved in some. So anyways, gymnastics is still a big part of our life. But so walking the balance beam, it always amazed me. If you don't believe gymnasts are athletes, think about the things that you couldn't do on a trampoline or standing on your bed with a nice soft landing that they're doing on a 4-inch wide chunk of steel, you know, 4 feet off the ground, and then hopefully they're, after they do that skill, they're still standing up on it. So there's nothing more important in life than living a disciplined, balanced lifestyle for you or your daughter. So the catch of that is, right, if we want to see our daughters living a disciplined and balanced lifestyle, we're going to need to be living that way. They need to see that in us. It's got to be evident in our life. So think about, what kind of parent are you? What kind of father are you? They describe three types in this book, and you'll probably easily you'll see this evident here. I don't know if you'll be able to see yourself here. An authoritarian type of parent says, I'm the parent and I'm in charge. All right. And that's their parenting style. That's what they did. So I'm the dad. This is what I said. This is what you do. That's an authoritarian. Then there's the permissive parent. Hey, whatever you want to do, honey. All right. Anything goes. And then if we have to, we fix it at the end. But that's the permissive type parent. And then there's authoritative. And that's a balanced parent who understands each child is different and knows how to navigate personalities and bring out the best. So you're authoritative. You're in charge, but you know how to manipulate is probably not a good word. You know how to make the difference in the children, navigate was the word they used here, how to navigate through all that and get them to do what it is they need to do. And then this topic is something, chapter 5, that is going to be real special to your heart someday, or maybe you have already done this. The birds, the bees, and the talk. So talking turkey to your developing daughter about sex, the male perspective, and your responsibility. So no dad in the world wakes up in the morning, kind of like Steve started out the day with guy, you know, he goes, no dad wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to have a straight talk with my daughter about sex today, right? No guy ever wants that to happen. You never wake up. Mostly if you are waking up knowing it, you're thinking you're dreading that situation and when it's about to happen. So this, like in a few other situations, there are certain things that are better handled by females. So hopefully there's someone in that situation that can do. But who better in your daughter's life to talk about men and how men view them or their relationships than their dad, right? I mean, if I want my daughter to learn something, especially something that important, I want it coming from her mother or I don't want her learning about it on the school bus, because I rode the school bus, and let me tell you, if you did, you know that's probably one of the worst places to learn about life. So who better to tell your daughter about what boys are thinking, right? You guys remember what it was like at that age? Maybe you still do, all right? I think they say, I forget what age, teenage boys think about sex 90% of the time, and the other 10% they're lying about it, thinking about it, right? So, I mean, yeah, that's, so who better to tell your daughter about some of those things? Because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? One of the suggestions in the book that they had was to, and I think this probably deals with any of these situations, is tell a story. If you have an illustration of something, that's probably the best way to teach your child something, is to tell them a story. So maybe it's something from your life that you can bring into play. This is probably one of those situations where it's probably the easiest to tell a story. So, you know, maybe what it was like when you were with her mother, you know, the situation surrounding that. Any cautions you might want to have about that? You know, it could just start out with your daughter says, he's like, well, you know, when I met your mom, you know, this is what happened. Or when we started dating, or after we got married, you know, however, you know, you want to start that conversation, whatever it is you're telling about. So think about telling things in a story. This is how it happened to me kind of thing. Keep in mind here, you know, one of the things that you're trying to do, that this is going to help you and help her form the building, healthy building blocks of a relationship with men, right? So that's the foundation. Remember, it goes back to that Bible verse, building that foundation, train up a child in the way she should walk. So when you're doing these things, you're laying that foundation for them, and you want to make sure that you're giving them, you know, strong, hopefully biblical worldview and principles to do that. You want to be able to avoid surprises or unexpected situations. I think that's key, you know. I mean, your first time your daughter's going on a date, you know, depending upon her age and things and her maturity level like that, wouldn't you rather prepare a little bit ahead of time, you know, for what's about to happen? You know, honey, if he slips his arm around you, you know, you know, if he puts his hand on your knee, you know, whatever it is, right? You know, hey, well, right? You know, warn her. Don't leave her surprised. Daddy, he did this. Oh, I should have thought of that, you know. Give her the stuff. Prepare a little bit ahead of time. Some of those building blocks are going to help her in topics like her appearance, including in how she dresses, right? You know, girls think they look pretty, and, you know, when they get dressed and stuff, and how do we look at them? Oh, they look sexy, right? You know, they, you know, I mean, you know, teach a girl to dress. This is something we talked about. Teach a girl to dress in a way that does not allow a boy to sin, okay? Because remember what we were going through, guys, and stuff like that, you know? There's certain, and that doesn't mean she's got to have turtlenecks on all the time and stuff like that, right? But just how she dresses, how she presents herself, and how she carries herself daily. So it's important for her to know and understand the boys and the differences they have. If they have brothers in the house, they probably understand a lot of that, right? So, all right, chapter number 6 then was on help. Civil war just broke out in the family room. So what to do in the females, your house are at war, and you're waving the truce flag. One of the things they talked about in here was don't walk into the trap of being caught between kids, all right, and then being manipulated by them, and I think that can happen, you know. I know Daddy likes this, so, you know, I can, you know, get him on my side by doing that. So be careful about things like that. Express fatherly disapproval for events that happen continuously. So kids are going to fight. Things are going to happen, right? But if it's the same stuff over and over again, you know, let them know this just isn't appropriate, and we can't keep doing this. You know, stand firm in the fact that nothing happens until the fight is resolved. We're supposed to do that in our relationships too, right? But it's important for those kids to get over those things as soon as possible. And they had to learn how to say, I was wrong, or I'm sorry. You know, they're going to learn a lot of life skills from that too. And then there are times that mama and daughter are going to go at it, and you might be disengaged from that. I was a part of a committee, a team, that we always said there was vigorous communication behind closed doors, but it was a united front, you know. And so if you're involved in, you know, work or a board situation or something like that, you know, when we're in our closed door meeting, you know, we're going to talk about things and we're going to get out. But when we're out there in front of everybody else, they're going to see that we're united. Well, in the same manner, if your daughter and her mother are going at it, whose side are you on? You better be on your wife's side, right? Now, you might not necessarily agree with her at the time, but in front of her daughter is not the time to be talking about that. So you're going to have to look at ways to disengage and stuff like that, because your first priority is your wife, all right? When the kids are gone and out of the house, you're still married, and you still got to live together. So it's important. But it's also important for your daughter's sake too, right? She needs to see that. She needs to see that mom and dad are united, that they care, and that's why this is happening. So, you know, it's important. That's one of the best things you can give your daughters, for her to see that. We're going to touch on this just a little bit. If you're divorced or you're in a situation like that where you have an ex to deal with, you know, that's hard on everyone. That's a whole special and unique scenario. But, you know, again, it's important, you know, you in the same way you don't want your daughter's mother to be ridiculing or making you look bad. You don't want to do that in front of her, too. That's going to show her a lot. As far as how you treat women, and including it might be your ex-wife. You want to affirm your love for your daughter. Always be doing that. You're involved in her life in positive ways. Quick to ask your daughter opinion about things and stuff like that, especially in that situation. A key one here, and we're going to get into this a little bit more later, don't fall into the trap of over-giving things to her, so not trying to buy her out that way. And remember that if you love her, you'll also discipline her. So even in those situations, you're going to do that. Disciplining is out of love. Chapter number 7 was then the critical eye. So what makes you good in the workplace can work against you at home. Critical eye dads can find the flaw in anything. So you may know people like that. You may be one. But so critical eye parents most likely grew up with criticism themselves. And most women who grew up with perfectionist, critical fathers have high expectations of themselves. There's nothing wrong with high expectations. But I think part of what happens then is they never meet those expectations, right? They're always striving for more. So if you think you're you see the flaw in everything, the first thing you can do about that is to tell yourself the truth. You know that you're admit it to yourself. I'm a flaw picker. I can easily find those things in my kids. Realize the skills that help you in other areas of your life, like your work or your hobbies, can work against you in your personal life. So the same things that you do at work that work for you there aren't necessarily going to help you in your home life. And then flaw picking tendencies can be ingrained, so you're going to need to practice that. The guy in the one testimony talked about that, right? When they first started out this morning, how he was not going to be the kind of dad that he had, where his dad was hard on him, abusive to him, physically abusive, and what happened to him? It's exactly who he turned into. So instead of being a flaw picker, tell your child you love him. Tell him that always. Tell him that often. Chapter number 8, then, is it called, it was a cake without sugar. Why buying your daughter stuff and popping in and out of her life will never satisfy what she wants mostly, which is you. And the book goes on to say the fundamental ingredient in any woman's life is her relationship with her father. So don't make your relationship about things instead of about the two of you. Okay? Do the little things that make your daughter feel special, and do the little things that let her know she is a priority. So this one thing I would do, there was a time in my life where I would often make their sandwiches or their pack their lunches for school. So I would usually put a napkin in there and I would write a note on that napkin, okay? And I thought, I don't know if they even remember that, but I'm hoping that during the day when they saw that, you know, that meant something to them, you know, that affirmation, that love. Nowadays, you probably, depending upon your daughter's age, you guys have probably all got a phone in your pocket. You know, if your daughter's got one, what's the easiest thing you can do? A quick text message, right? Boom. Hey, thinking of you today. How'd that test go? Wow, Dad was thinking of me today? You know, just little things like that. You know, so it doesn't have to be a trip to McDonald's, you know, and stuff like that, or a big date night, but just little things, how important those are too. So take a careful look at your schedule and make sure your schedule includes her. Look and know, research her and know what she's interested in and what her interests and activities are, and then participate with her. Make regular appointments, daddy-daughter date night. We talked about that already, how important that is. Ask her opinion on things, including issues you face. You know, I can't imagine anything more a learning experience for an older child. You know, you got something going on at work or something else. To hear their thought on that. Hey, this is what's going on. What would you do in that situation? And who knows? They might blow you away, you know, with an answer. Go, wow, you know, I never thought of that, but that's great. But think of the respect she's going to have for you if you ask her questions about things like that. And then do what you promise. If you promise her things, if you tell her things, make sure you follow through. Because how is she going to trust you, you know, if you break your promises? So it's all about that relationship. It's the relationship with you two. Rules without relationship is going to lead to rebellion. That's just a key to remember. You can have a lot of rules, but if you don't have a relationship, that's just going to lead to rebellion. A phrase I heard years ago was, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know? And you can be an expert, you know, but what are you telling me about something if you don't care about me personally? So, chapter 9, are you a man or a mouse? There's no higher compliment than a little girl calling you dad, or a dad saying, Dad, I want to marry someone just like you. So how to help your daughter get the kind of man you want her to have. A man's place is in the home. Be prepared to put your schedule aside. For our family, we like to have supper together. When we were done with supper, it was usually playtime. You know, it might include going outside and playing in the swing set, hitting the ball around. It might be wrestling on the floor, whatever it took. But it was just our time. Dinner time, supper time is kind of a lost art these days. You know, we had one daughter who was our entertainment at the dinner table. You know, she just kept us all laughing. You know who I'm talking about? You know, and it was just fun. And that just opened up the window to all kinds of conversation. But the lost art of the dinner table, that's just so important. Believe in your daughter. Encourage her dreams. Give her a well-balanced view of how the world works. We running out of time here. And then use reality to teach life lessons. There are things going on that you can use, so do that as often as you can. Chapter 10, if you see a turtle on a fence post, right? If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get up there by he needed help to get up there. So step into your daughter's world. Spend some time doing things you maybe rather not be doing, but it's important to her. Nudges of encouragement, two of the most powerful words you can tell your daughter are good job. So, you know, telling that is key, but just be careful not to overuse it. And there's a difference between praise and encouragement. Sometimes praise can be false. Sometimes it can be phony. But encouragement is focuses on the act, not on the person so much. So be specific about stuff like that. Grace-based fathering. We need plenty of grace in our life. We need to extend it to our children. Confess and maybe flaunt your failures. A great way to teach them a lesson is, you know, to do something in your own life. For me, it was simply, honey, I sucked at math. So, you know, you're going to need to work harder on this or you're going to end up like me. Okay, so, you know. And then practice saying I'm sorry. Say it quickly, say it often, and say it like you mean it. So think about areas in your life and that you might not have thought of before, that you might be able to improve on, and then go from there. Chapter 11 in the conclusion, time is ticking. And let me tell you this, guys. Your daughter, your girl, she's growing faster than a speeding bullet, right? And if you didn't hear that, let me say it again. Your daughter is growing faster than a speeding bullet. One day, your baby's having babies, and you're like, how did this happen? You know, it's just amazing. I heard a speaker one time say, the days are long and the years fly by, and I can't imagine anything more truer. It's like some days you're exhausted. It's like, how did I get through this? And I go, oh, this week and all this. And all of a sudden, you know, here we are, right? And we're looking at this stuff. So always be cognizant of that and be intentional so that you know, the time is ticking, and you want to make sure. I'm fortunate now. I'm at the stage where I'm watching my grandkids grow, so I can step back and enjoy that so much more, and it's so much more relaxing. My father-in-law had a great saying. He said, "Grandkids are great. You kiss them once when they get there, and twice when they leave." So that's just a beautiful thing. You can spoil them and do the things like that. But your children just want your time, and I can't think of anything more important. You hear this thing about, well, I give my kids quality time. I don't think they care about it. They want your time, right? They just want to be with you and do things. I don't know if there's a show called Last Man Standing. in this one episode, Larrabee, the guy, he gets a car from his father who died, and he hates his car because his dad would make him work on it every Saturday. And we never talked. We just laid on that car and worked on it. And then Mike, the head guy, goes, well, my dad took me fishing, and we never talked. All we did was fish. And it turns out what they realized, their just dad just wanted to be with them. It was just that time together, sitting on a lake fishing. You know, you don't have to solve life's issues, just out there enjoying it, stuff like that. Laying under a car, working on it, you know, it's just that time together. How much more important is that? One of the things that raising kids was described, like I just read this recently, is that it's like your kids are like concrete. What happens after concrete? You pour it, it's wet, it's moldable, but then what happens? It sets, it gets hard. And right, so you know, mold your kids when you're in that phase. Anyways, this is my life now. This is what those four girls did to me, and this one more on the way. So there's 20 of us in that picture. We'll be a family of 21 this summer.
Thank God you put some boys in there, huh?
Yeah, I got some grandsons now. So, yeah, yeah. First thing we do is show them the antlers on the wall and say, hey, boys, all right, this is what we do. So I just want to encourage you to think about the things we talked about. Read that book. It's a great book. Read all the way through. A lot more detail. But let's end with this one sentence here. If your daughter were to finish this sentence, what would she say? Okay. So if you went up to your daughter and you said, you are daddy's, what would she say? So you think about that. Think about what your daughter would fill in that blank, you know. What do you want your daughter to say? If I went up to your daughter and said, hey, you are your daddy's love, apple of his eye, something like that, right? What is it you want your daughter to say? And then be intentional about that. All right.